Welcome to Talk of the Town, a podcast from Uniontown Bible Church. Each episode, we'll take time to talk about life, faith, and the everyday conversations that shape our walk with Christ, whether it's digging deeper into Scripture, exploring how our faith intersects with culture, or hearing stories from our church family. This is a space to connect, be encouraged, and grow together. Thanks for joining us, and let's jump into today's conversation. Welcome to Talk of the Town, a podcast from Uniontown Bible Church. I'm your host and adult ministries pastor, Tyler Goldberg. Today, we are trekking along in our series, In Every Word. This is actually the last episode of the semester as we are taking summer off from the podcast. But I am joined today by Tyler Smith, who is a regular attender and member here at Uniontown. So we are going to jump right in, and I'm going to let Tyler share a little bit of his story, and then we'll jump into Acts chapter 2.
Yes, that's my real name, Tyler Smith.
It's not a John Doe.
It's not a John Doe. No, yeah, we've been coming here for about a year and a half now. We're everyday tenders of church, and then obviously the COVID thing happened where everybody went into their houses, and then we didn't go to church very often. We went online, I'm going to be honest with you. And then once that got out of that fog of like, okay, we can go to actually church again, we kind of just stayed doing online, and then we're like, okay, we kind of felt that pull to, me and my wife, by the way, I'm saying we, the pull to kind of get back into community and stuff like that. And we tried Uniontown, and wow, we're still here. It feels good.
Yeah, so I think the first time I met you was at a Digging Deeper class.
Digging Deeper, yeah.
On Tuesday night.
I think I'd only been here probably a couple months, and that was one of the things that came up, and it was like, do you want to do it? And I'm like, yeah, why not?
Yeah, so we went through the book of Thessalonians. I believe it was 1 Thessalonians that we were covering at the time. So that was my first introductory meeting to you, and then went to breakfast, and then I discovered what you do for a living. What do you do for a living? Because it's super unique and cool.
I do YouTube.
Okay.
And I do gaming, Call of Duty, other video games, pretty much full time. That's the job.
Okay, so God has given you a unique platform to reach a wide scope of people and a wide audience.
A 1,000%. And I've been doing it for about 6 years full time, I would say, maybe five. And there's a lot of people that you can come across from all walks of life, which I think is something I'm starting to realize, and we've had conversations about this at breakfast, like, wow, there's people that I'm reaching that you wouldn't be able to do in any other manner. I don't think so.
Yeah,
kind of cool.
Yeah, so kind of the purpose also of this podcast is to hopefully reach other people that are maybe not even attending Uniontown. Maybe they are in Carroll County or somewhere nearby, and they hear this, and hopefully, in addition to our church family, are encouraged to read alongside the scriptures through the year 2026 and even beyond that, obviously. So our hope is that every day we would be in the Word in some capacity to hear from God and to do and obey what He has commanded us to. So let's jump in. Acts chapter 2, with the time of this releasing, is what we will have just read. So Acts chapter 2 through 6. So take us to Acts chapter 2. What stuck out to you as you were reading? Anything pop out to you from Acts chapter 2?
Well, I'm taking a side road here. I think the daily reading thing is a really good thing. Like, I'm not even trying to downplay other places I've been, but I think it's very encouraging when it feels like the whole entire body's doing it, rather than, you know, just doing it on your own, following some random plan. Yep. So I think that's been pretty cool to see, you know, when Frank goes up there and like, you know, how many people are still doing the plan? And like 90% of the people raise their hands. Right. And it's kind of like, this is cool because I grew up in the church and read a lot, but not as much structured. You're almost just like, all right, let me, hopefully maybe you've done it too. Yeah. I'm not the only one, but like open the Bible up and you're like, all right, let's, Luke 7.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
all right,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
It's like, so this has been nice. And then, you know, my wife's gotten into it and she's been reading every day and she's like, man, I've never done this before. And I'm like, Yeah, it's cool to see.
So. Yeah, so it's from our deep discipleship class that we've been going through, where we've gone through the entire story of Scripture, starting the last fall, and we're concluding next week. But the key idea of the whole class is theology is best done in community.
Yeah,
and so that's really the goal of this Bible reading plan, is to do theology in community together. So hopefully that has been a testimony as you were listening. Hopefully that's said of you as well and your family, and how it's made that big of an impact on you. So Acts chapter 2,
I was pulling it up here. But I think probably the biggest thing is at the end of chapter 2 for me. I feel like, you know, you hear a lot on the news and stuff like that of the bad churches, the bad things that, you know, go on within the church. And there's a lot of churches out there that are actually doing it the right way. And I feel like Acts chapter 2 at the end kind of just shows you what the original plan was for the church. You know, it feels like, hey, everybody was sharing their stuff. They were hanging out. They were, you know, listening to one another. They were breaking of bread and prayer and fellowship. And then I think the line here at the end was like, and it added to their number daily who were being saved. Yeah. So it's like, almost when it goes according to plan and what Jesus was like, hey, this is what it should be. Mm-hmm. It's almost like things are actually like they work out and things grow.
It's almost like we've made faith too complicated, right? So the church success equation is actually very simple.
Yeah.
It's just we are tempted, like you mentioned, by the negative publicity surrounding church and Christianity in general, but also we're just tempted to do a bunch of things because we have the capacity to do them, like podcasts, for instance. Yeah. Like,
you know, this is a good idea, though. Right? I'm gonna give you some love. Hey. This is a good idea.
So we are we're tempted to do everything else but what God has given us the equation to do. And so, as you mentioned, you know, you're talking about devoting themselves. Number one, to be devoted to something is to really step your level up in commitment. So to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, so that would be the church service for them, to the breaking of bread, not just the Lord's Supper, but just meals
just
together.
Just hanging out.
Yeah. Which is what I enjoyed probably the most with you, is just hanging out and getting to know you and hanging out and seeing how we can be there for each other, and praying. So the prayer is not a lost art on them either. And I love verse 43. They weren't just appreciative of the Holy Spirit, they were in awe of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I've been learning just in my own walk, as to be not just appreciative of God being around and kind of getting numb to the idea, but still having that awe of Him, right? So then we transition from the coming of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost happens. The early church is born. Then we get to chapter 3. And here's where we kind of get multiple stories happening in each chapter. So you can pick a story or pick an event or two of each chapter. What happens in Acts chapter 3 that sticks out to you?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I feel like it's, I don't know, I feel like it's the healing thing for me. It's like it feels, I mean, it's not the longest of chapters, but what is it, Peter or who?
Peter and John both
heal. Is this the, don't quote me on this, is this the first time they heal, like, without Jesus there, kind of thing?
Yes, yeah. So it's them being devoted to what they've been instructed to do, right? So they're calling people to repent and turn to the Lord. So it's kind of like, again, like an early version of evangelism, if you will.
Yeah.
Right. So God is, through the Holy Spirit, is working through them, but it's most importantly turning them to the Lord Himself and not their own abilities.
I was going to say that. Yeah. I think that's a big portion here, and I remember reading that now, because I kind of read all this together a bunch. But like, I feel like that was when they healed them, the crowd was like then looking at them like, oh my gosh, like look what you guys are doing. And luckily, you know, sometimes I wish I was better at this, but like Peter and John were like, whoa, you know, not me.
Right.
This is a God thing. And so I think that's kind of important just for everyday life too, because I think if I can refer back to my own stuff, you know, when you grow a channel or you grow a following, and then people like almost become a fan of you, if that makes sense.
No, that's true.
I feel like this kind of feels
a
like
follower, subscriber.
Yeah, a follower, subscriber. Yeah. It's like, you know, that's great. But then we've talked about this off the podcast. It's like, how can you point people to Jesus or not yourself while still doing what you're doing. Right. And I kind of resonate with that in that, because I'm not healing anybody, but you know, it's just the fact that they all turn to them or like, oh my gosh, like you guys are the goats kind of thing. And they're like, whoa, easy now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like you. I'm a regular person like you. So I think that's something that resonates with me just in everyday life. Even if you do something good, people can kind of, you can kind of get some pride
sure.
in any world.
Right.
Basketball.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, oh man, you're the man. You made all those shots. Like, yes, but you have to go back to like the get. I got given a gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I think that's the mindset I try to have.
Sure.
As not being fake humble, you know, it's like the balance of like not being like this guy, like, oh, you know, I'm talking, there's like a fake humble out there, but then there's also like you want to be make people aware, like, okay, this is not my doing, you know.
Right.
I think there's like this balance of that,
right? So we get that from Acts chapter 3, and then we see also another real world example that not everything goes, you know, exactly to plan as we might dream it, right? So just, you know, for lack of a better word, they face opposition, right? So Acts chapter 4, what sticks out to you based on what happened to Peter and John?
Well, I mean, I feel like it's just one of those cliche answers, but like, I feel like if you're actually a Christian and doing kind of what Jesus says, you're just going to get persecuted.
Right.
Now, I don't think we should use it as excuses to not do stuff, but it's almost like you should just expect it, you know? And I think sometimes, even myself, you know, when you get persecution, you're like, oh, why? But it's like, wait a second, hold on. We've been reminded of this.
Right.
Like, we're gonna get persecuted. And so I guess that's my biggest thing from that is, it's expected, and I don't know, they keep going. You know, you just keep going. You
right.
don't, Yeah. wallow in it, I guess, is the yeah, word I'm yeah, looking no. for.
In fact, they actually do the opposite, right? So they continue, you know, proclaiming Jesus despite this persecution. I like that the church doesn't pray for God to remove their circumstances, but rather to have them keep enduring in it.
Yeah.
And then they continue preaching the gospel. And not only that, they step up their generosity by sharing what God has given them is in the face of persecution. So I think that's something specifically in our day, in our political climate, that we could learn from, that we could continue to improve, that we would not ask God to remove our circumstances, but how might we best love him and endure in the situation. I was reading a book yesterday called In Defense of Christian Patriotism. And so it's how how to be a patriot and a Christian without someone looking at you and think, wow, you really idolize America.
Right.
So how do I love my country in the circumstances that we're in right now? And really, I mean, you'd be surprised how simple the answers were.
Yeah.
It was to be involved in local elections. It was to be in the local church every week. It was to be in your local schools.
Yeah.
Those are the influential zones. So the church in Acts 4 is not withdrawing. They're actually advancing even more forward despite the persecution. Kind of questioning how might we, as a local church, but also as individuals, how might we advance in our culture today, despite the circumstances that may face us, the persecution, those types of things.
I think there's one more on this one.
Yep.
Also, there's a lot of the word boldness everywhere. I think that's one thing. It's just like they were just bold with it, and I wish I could say that I was bold all the time. I am definitely not. But I think the one thing that I always that clicked with me, and I was trying to remember what chapter it was in, but they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were just uneducated and untrained men.
Mm.
I only passed high school, so like I feel like I'm in that classification.
Sure.
Failed out of college, didn't really enjoy school that much. But that doesn't give you an excuse to just be like, oh well, I'm kind of stupid,
right.
You know, And I think I've learned throughout my life, you know, people that were plumbers, people that were trash men, people, they were just as smart as the scientist.
Right.
With just that, I don't know what you want to call it, like everyday knowledge,
yeah.
or, you know, almost
yeah, yeah.
like that real world knowledge,
yeah, sure.
rather than like, oh, I'm just super duper smart.
Right.
I'm going to throw out these major words at you. It's like, well, sometimes just all you need to hear is like, hey, Jesus actually loves you type
right,
of thing.
Yeah.
You don't need to have some crazy words around
yeah.
it. So the uneducated, untrained coming from me that only passed high school, I'm like, man, okay, listen.
Well, I mean, I think of Paul writing Romans, right? So Paul, right, super uneducated. He even says, like, I don't come with the mighty words of speech or, like, big, long, fancy phrases. Mm-hmm. I just come proclaiming the gospel. And what's fascinating about the book of Romans is that in the early 1900s was used by Harvard Law School students and how to frame and state an argument. I think that is so fascinating.
I wonder what he would think about that.
Yes, you know? You're right. So he is telling people, he's like, listen, I'm not the smartest or the brightest crayon in the box, but I'm just proclaiming the gospel in an argument for it. And here we are in 21st century America, and what we consider to be the highest institution of learning and higher education is using his example for framing their arguments in the court of law. So I think that's just a good reminder that God can use literally anyone to impact the world to whatever degree that he desires.
I used to think that too. I'm going on a side note again, but I feel like it's growing up, I was a pastor's kid, so I always kind of had the thought of, for you to do something impactful, it needed to be within the church walls.
Right.
And I think at 33, even in the last couple of years, I'm learning it doesn't have to be. It can be at the basketball gym. It can be on the YouTube video. It can be somebody you run into when me and you are going to breakfast and you chat with them. It's like there's so many more ways. And you kind of got to unlearn that church mindset sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's what Paul did, right? He went to the marketplace.
Right.
Right, to go and minister to people.
Yep.
He didn't stay in the temple courts. So that's good. So that transitions us to Acts chapter 5, where, again, the story doesn't necessarily change, but yet growth still happens. So what sticks out from Acts chapter 5?
This one's always a... And maybe we can talk about this. Sometimes a little bit fear-based, a little bit, I can bring it up, if I can say that. It's like lying to the Holy Spirit is the headline. I'm like, oh, shoot. And so, I mean, the story is pretty much what they have money, and then they're giving it to the church, or giving not to the church, but to the disciples. Uh-huh. They kind of shortchange it. And then they kind of just die on the spot.
They do die on the spot.
So, I mean, I think that's very, I think that's probably sometimes tough for people to read, maybe. If you're a first-time reader of Acts, if you're going through this for the first time, you're like, uh-oh. Because I think sometimes, too, there's a fear-based Christianity out there that's like, do this or blank.
Right.
So, I don't know. I don't know your thoughts on that. But that sometimes stands out to me as like, okay, how do you manage that one?
I don't think it's intended to be taken literally, but I also do think it's kind of like a parable. You know, it's a story that shows the deceit of dishonesty.
Right. Right.
Obviously, God has not struck down every person who's been dishonest on the spot. Right. So if that was the case, every one of us would be deceased.
Dead.
Right.
Yeah.
We would have no existing human beings. But I think the parables Jesus used, he uses them to tell a story. And while the story is not literal, it is figurative in the nature that it shows the main point of, hey, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Mm-hmm. Well, the disciples still get it, even though that's not literally what's happening. And then this way, I think the story of Ananias and Sapphira lying is not to say that if you lie, God's going to strike you down and kill you. However, it is showing that a pattern probably of dishonesty could probably get you into a bad place, and also just says, hey, dishonesty, lying is serious.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's like a heart posture too, I guess, maybe, because the thought of them giving is great and it looks good.
Right.
But it's like, well, they probably had a little bit more they could have given, and then they held it back because of maybe selfish reasons, I'm assuming. So I don't know if it ties into like you're trying to look good for other people type of thing.
Possibly,
like,
yeah, sure.
It's like, like, hey, look, you got your hand with money up in the air.
Right.
Like, hey, guys, I'm giving this money.
Which even Jesus addresses. He says, he says, not to let your other hand know what the other hand is doing. Again, he's not being literal there. He's saying, let your giving be done in secret so that no one can look at you and be like, oh, well, look at that showboat. He's saying, be generous for the sake of being generous, yep. not so that, that you can be seen, right? So it's kind of an analogy, if you will, or a metaphor for the actual act that's happening, which brings us to Acts chapter 6, the first conflict of the early church. So we've certainly not gotten away from this, right? So conflict, as you mentioned earlier, right? You know, I mean, it feels like every day I read a new church headline with some kind of pastoral moral failure or just some bad publicity. So in Acts chapter 6, what stands out to you from Acts chapter 6?
I mean, yeah, that's definitely one. I think I kind of have a couple notes. Like, the church just continues to grow, which is kind of cool. But I guess the appointing of the apostles, I think that it reminds me of Lord of the Rings for some reason.
Okay.
Like, there's really no tie-in with this. There's no biblical background, but it's like the seven chosen to serve, and it reminds me of where they're, you know, going to take the ring to Mordor, and
right.
all the guys get together, and they're like, all right, I'm in. And so, I don't know, it's kind of the start of that, I guess, the brotherhood kind of thing is kind of what I would say.
Yeah, so they're often seen as the first deacons of the scriptures, right?
Yeah.
So again, the word deacon in the Greek literally means to be a servant.
Yeah.
So which is why we would distinguish between elders and deacons. Deacons are more of a servant-based role. Not that elders aren't servants, but elders are more leaders. And the deacons are those that are fulfilling the role of service ministry. So given the fact that these men, the ESV, uses the kind of subheading of the seven chosen to serve. And so you could say that these guys are the first seven deacons of the early church. And then we kind of cut it off here at Stephen, one of those seven, being seized, which obviously, if you've read Acts before, you kind of know where this is going. But he is seized, and kind of that sets up his speech for the next chapter. And basically, he's defending himself against false accusation.
I was going to say, it's right. Like, even, you know, we talked about the stories of, you know, the bad decisions the leaders make, but I mean, Stephen was just kind of doing everything the right way.
Right.
And guess what? He still got accusations.
Yeah.
So sometimes you're just going to get that.
Right. So unfortunately. So I think that these chapters were a great I'm surprised at how good of real-world applications came from these four or five chapters. Just given dependence on the Holy Spirit, the endurance to continue to grow in the Lord and preach the gospel. Obviously, opposition and persecution happening. But then the church actually begins to practice church by having these guys serve.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously, as soon as they pick people, right, all of a sudden the stuff starts to happen. The accusations fly. Stephen is seized. All these things happen. And so it's just a great reminder for, like, I feel like a lot of what we are wrestling with as the Western church today, are we depending on the Holy Spirit as persecution inevitably begins to ramp up even more as our culture becomes more and more divided each and every day? How are we responding to that? So is there anything else that kind of stuck out to you in your reading or from the Every Word Plan in general? What's been your overall take home from this so far?
I mean, the Every Word Plan has been great for me. It's given me structure. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest things I lack is, what in the heck am I reading today? And so having a little bit of a plan, and, you know, it's funny. I don't know what example it was the other day, but we were in a chapter, and then I was either reading a book or listening to some sort of podcast, and they were talking about that chapter, and I'm like, wow, that's kind of just a cool little tie-in, which, you know, just was based on the reading, mm-hmm. and they were talking about it. So I think it's been encouraging just to learn, because I think I'll take a chapter and then I'll kind of deep dive on that chapter rather than just like brushing it off. And then when Frank comes back or whoever's preaching that week and talks about the deep, even a deeper dive in that story, it's like, man, you really get a lot out of those five chapters for the week.
Right.
More than I probably would just randomly reading, randomly kind of going about the day.
Right, right, right.
Sometimes you can read and you're like, okay, what the heck did I just read?
Sure, sure, absolutely. Yeah, you're not alone there. All right, so thanks for listening to this episode of Talk of the Town from Uniontown Bible Church. Until next time, remember to love God most and love others best, and we will see you again in the fall. Have a great summer.